Amen. Well, good morning again. The song we wanted to sing this morning goes along with my message this morning. And this morning, with the Lord's help, I'd like to bring a message entitled, Little as Much When God Is In It. Amen? And I'd like to take the Bible. I hope you brought your Bible this morning. A lot of people go to places and go to churches on Sunday morning and they go empty-handed and they have to rely on what the man says from behind the pulpit to be true. And they have to rely on what he's saying because they didn't bring their Bible. And I hope this morning you have a Bible. If you don't, maybe your neighbor has one. But I'd like for you to follow along in the Bible as much as you can to see that the words I'm saying, the things I want to bring forth, bring to light, they aren't my words. They aren't just what I want you to hear, but they're the words that the Lord has preserved for us and kept for us that we can rely on and build our faith on and put our trust in. It's not man, but it's the Lord. Humans, people of society, the world today, with the help of science and technology and telescopes and computers and computer imaging and all the things that we've done, put satellites into space, the Hubble telescope, which is now obsolete, and they have a new one now. With those things that we have knowledge of today, and we see the vastness and the greatness of God's creation, the world of the earth, as we call it, and even America, or South Carolina, or Columbia, West Columbia, if you will, seems so small. And then you think about man and how insignificant we are amongst the vastness of the things that be. Earth is part of a solar system. The solar system we live in is a part of the galaxy that we're in. Now, brethren, I haven't been to where these telescopes are, but if I believe what they tell me and they show me, there's millions of galaxies, they say. Our galaxy is light years across. It's not a matter of we'll get in a car and drive for an hour or two, or three or five or 100 or 500 or 1,000 hours and we're going to get to the other side, and there's going to be a beginning and an end. But our acknowledgement of how great the creation of what God created is so vast, if you think about us in it, it's just a teeny tiny speck of something that God's done. And we start thinking about us. I tell you something, if we take the Bible for what it says, the Bible says all of that was created for us, not us for it. That tells you something about the God we serve. But I just want you to think and look at the big picture. The earth is 27,000 miles around the circumference of the earth. If you were to say, I want to walk, I'm going to walk around the earth, just earth, not the sun, not the moon, not the grand part of the galaxy, but just earth. We want to walk around the earth. It could be done. You could walk around the earth if you were able to walk on water, I guess, because 70% of the earth's surface is water. If you could walk 3 miles an hour straight, and not stop walking from when you started. 9,000 hours of walking, you could walk around the earth. or 375 days straight if you didn't sleep and you didn't eat and you just walked 3 miles an hour. And 375 days, you could walk the circumference of the earth. Or, let's say you just walked 10 hours a day and you slept the others and rested. And 900 days, you could walk the circumference of the earth. That's pretty big. I'm trying to give you a scale in your mind of how vast and how big something is. And how small and frail and little we are compared to the greatness. Yet, here we are at church on Sunday in West Columbia. And our little, what do we have here, brother Ron? 6 acres? Of land, 5 acres of land, something like that, 4 acres of land, whatever the church sits on here. Here we are, and we think this is a big piece of land. We have a big building. Hey, if you don't think it's big, you should have been here for the last 5 weeks we were putting the roof on it. It's big! Here we are this morning, and we're going to study this little book. I mean, my Bible's probably pretty big compared to some people's Bible, because I got the wide margin. I like to write stuff down in my Bible. I got the wide margin. And this little book, the truth, for all of humanity, all the knowledge, everything that we need to know for our eternal existence later in life, the next life, it's right here in this little book. Little is much when God is in it. Brethren, there's a lot of books been written about a lot of things. But none of them will amount to anything more than just a paper and ink, a cardboard, or whatever they're printed on. And they will all come to nothing at one day. But this little book, 66 books, it's a volume. The Bible is a volume of 66 books put together. This little Bible. And in it, we have everything we need to know about how to be saved, how to live for God, and what to expect in the future. And not only what to expect in the future, but where we came from and how we got here and where things and why they exist. Little is much because God is in it. My first thing I want to bring to light this morning, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings in chapter 17. In the book of 1 Kings in chapter 17, we see here Elijah, a prophet of God, a great prophet of God, not a insignificant prophet. He didn't just write some stuff down that's going to come to pass in the future or to prophesy against the people. He did some things, great things. He raised people from the dead. He caused it not to rain on the earth for 3.5 years. He did a lot of things. And we're going to see here Elijah in chapter 17. Let's read verse 6. Now, in the very beginning of the chapter here, Elijah, he tells Ahab, the king of Israel, he says, listen here, there's not going to be any rain for 3 years. And then he leaves. Now, the Bible says he goes and hides. The Lord told him, go hide yourself. Verse 6, chapter 17, verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. You say, well, why is he hiding? In verse 1, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kedron, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there, before I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now the Lord told Elijah to help do this prophecy. He's obeying the Lord. And then the Lord told him, you go over here to this brook, and I'm going to take care of you. He went to the brook, and the Lord took care of him. But then the brook dried up. But some time has went by. If the brook dries up, there's no rain. And when there's no rain, if any of you know anything about geology, as far as the earth goes, the way we get water in the ground for wells and rivers and springs is water coming out of the sky. And when it don't rain, the water level drops. In fact, the water level can drop and drop and drop. Your well can go dry. And the water level continues to drop. Deep wells will go dry. Some time has went by. I don't know how long Elijah was here at this brook. But I'm going to tell you, it was a little while. Because I'm going to go to the next verse down here. He says, go to this widow woman. He don't even give her name. He says, you're going to go down here to this widow woman, and she will sustain you. She's going to take care of Elijah. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Let me tell you what, things aren't looking too good. That widow woman the Lord sent Elijah to go get sustaining from, she's on her last meal. That's all she's got. She said, I'm going to go gather two sticks. I'm going to make a fire. I'm going to bake us our last loaf of bread. We're going to eat it. And then we're going to be at the mercy of God. And that's it. That's all we got. And here Elijah walks in and says, hey, I'm hungry. It ain't looking good. No rain. Crops aren't growing. They didn't have sprinkler systems back then. The crops are not growing. Not only is water scarce, but food is scarce. You can't grow grain or corn or the things you need to make bread if you don't have water. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first. And bring it unto me. And after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, to the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now I want to say two things here. First of all, the Lord commanded this widow to take care of Elijah. Do you notice she doesn't say, who are you? Do I know you? Why are you talking to me? She knows who he is. Secondly, she makes it known to him, hey, Elijah, this is all we got. And Elijah says to her, he says, listen here. He says, go and do what you said you're going to do. Go away and make your last meal. But before you make your last meal, I want you to take a little bit and make me a little cake first. Make me a little cake first. And then with what's left over, you take care of you and your son. And by faith, she believed, because the Lord told her, you take care of life. I'm sending you to take care of you. You take care of it. And she obeyed Elijah with what little she had. Now, brother, I have a hard time with that myself personally. If it was just me and Sister Carrie and the kids and we only had enough food for one more meal and somebody showed up and said, listen, Brother Sam, I know this is your last meal. I'm hungry. But if you'll feed me and my family first, then cook yourself something, I'd have a hard time with that. It'd be kind of tough. It'd be real tough. But it's not just somebody doing something. The Lord has told him to do this. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she in her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I want to say this. Her faith and her obedience sustained her house. Her faith and her obedience. If she would have went into the house and she would have said, now look here. I'm just going to get in half and I'm going to eat half of myself. I'll tell you what I'm going to do is this is my meal. This is my oil. I've been saving this for us. We've just been eating a little bit every day. Why should I give it to him? I'm going to make mine first. And what's left over, I'll give to Elijah. That'd be the last we heard about her. The Lord wouldn't have sustained her in her house. But because she had little, she only had a little bit. But she was obedient and faithful. The Lord turned it into many days. Now, brethren, I want to say the year has not changed a whole lot from back in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's still 365 days according to the calendar and 360 days according to the Jewish calendar. Of course, they get to throw in an extra month every 14 years, so they get to add some stuff in. All right? The year ain't changed much. The Bible says 3 years no rain. Now, I don't know how long he was by the brook, but brethren, he was there a year. He was here for 2 years. If he was at the brook for a year and a half, he was here for a year and a half. If he was at the brook for 2 years, he was at her house for a year. He was there a long time. How much food do you think you can eat in a year? How many people do you think she fed in that year's time? Do you think she was stingy with her stuff and hid it? Do you think she was charitable and helped others? A little bit can be a whole lot if God is in it. Take your Bibles. Turn to 2 Kings. The second book of Kings. And chapter 4. I want to say this before I move to my next point. That same widow woman we just spoke about, who put Elijah first and put the Lord first, not only did she have sustenance of life as far as food, but her faith also brought her son back to life not long after. He fell sick and died. And Elijah took him and raised him from the dead. So not only did her faith sustain her life, sustain her family and Elijah with food and sustenance, but also with life. In the book of 2 Kings. And chapter 4, Elijah has now went on. But before he went on, he laid hands on Elisha. And Elisha was a great prophet of God. And he did many works for the Lord. And Elisha, we're going to read about an incident he had with a widow woman. And in 2 Kings in chapter 4, let's read in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. We talked about this on Wednesday night in class. Bondmen, bondwomen, slaves, slavery. It says here that Elisha had a servant, or that were the servants of the prophets. He was married, he had a wife, and he died. And that woman is now a widow. And it says here that they owe money to somebody, a creditor. And it says the creditor has come unto her and said, Listen, I'm taking your boys from you, and they're going to be working for me. They got to pay this debt off. So she goes to Elisha and tells him what's going on. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me. What hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. He says, Well, what do you got to sell? What can we get rid of to pay this debt off? Do you maybe have an inheritance? Maybe some jewelry, some clothing. Maybe you got some extra camels out back. Maybe you got some hay we can sell. What do you got that we can take care of this debt? Oil. I said this little pot of oil is all I got. Verse 3. Then he said, Elisha says, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Elisha says, hey, here's what you do. You go and borrow as many empty vessels as you can find. And you bring them into the house and you shut the door. Then you take that little pot of oil you have, and when each vessel is full, you set it aside. Imagine her and her sons in the house, and they've got these vessels, and they brought them in, and they got the door shut. And she says, okay, let's fill this one up. And they fill it up. He looks in, there's still oil in the pot. Then they go to the second one, and they start filling it up. It fills up, and there's still oil in the pot. About time they get to pot three, somebody's getting excited at the house. Somebody's going, hey man, ha! It's pretty good! Getting four pots over here! Let's pour a little faster! They're filling them up! They're getting excited! Hey, the Lord's doing something in their life! A miracle is happening right before them! Because they obeyed. And they had faith. You say, well, Sam, how do you know they had faith? They obeyed. If they wouldn't have believed them, they would have never went and got pots. They had faith. And they obeyed. And the Lord took a little thing, insignificant nothing, and turned it into a lot. The Bible says in chapter 4, in verse 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me the vessel! Ha! And he said to her, there's not a vessel more.
We done filled them all up, Mom. That's it. I still got oil in my pot. And all the vessels are full.
Verse 7, and she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children in rest. Let me tell you what, that first widow woman, Lord sustained her food, and he sustained her health, because he raised her son from the dead, because she believed, and she had faith. And this widow woman here is not much unlike her. In a desperate situation of life, she believed the prophet and she obeyed. And the Lord sustained her financial needs. And when he sustained her financial needs, he not only sustained them for that debt, but he says, he tells her in verse 7, live thou and thy children of the rest. There wasn't just enough to pay the bills. There was something to live on. Imagine if she wouldn't have went and got all those vessels. Maybe she would have went and got three or four. Maybe she would have went to just the next door neighbors and got two from them. And went across the street and only got one or two from them. That's enough. I mean, what's going to happen? How much can one little pot pour out?
But her faith was greater than that. Her faith was so great, she went and got as many as she could find.
Her little pot of oil, because of her faith, and because of her obedience, turned out to be enough. Not only for the need, but surpassed it.
I'd like to take you to the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 2, in the New Testament, I'd like to give you my final example of a little being a lot when God is in it. And in Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says this.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, all things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, ye have always obeyed, not as in presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to say this right here. There was a man called Jesus 2,000 years ago. He walked on here. And he was obedient. And he had faith. Oh, he had a lot of faith. And he was obedient to God unto death. Jesus Christ was just one man. The man Christ Jesus, who also embodied God on earth. I want to say this right here, that Jesus Christ walked on the face of the earth and he lived for the purpose of one thing. And through his obedience to the commandment of his Father, he laid down his life, a sacrifice, one time forever. Just one. Brethren, we have the entire Old Testament, which tells us of thousands and millions of sacrifices being made yearly, and it never satisfied. It never fulfilled and made an end of an atonement for sin. But now Jesus Christ shows up. He was obedient unto death for the sake of the whole world. He knew that his sacrifice and the shedding of his blood would save man. Hey, brethren, it not only saved everybody since he died, but everybody that died before he came, they had to be covered by that blood. They were held in captivity in Abraham's bosom. They couldn't even go to heaven until Jesus Christ died. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to say this. I want to bring it and make it real to you. Jesus Christ was a man, not much unlike myself or yourself. And the fact that he had two arms and two legs, a heart, and he breathed air, and he had blood flowing through his veins. If you took me, I'm not the average height, but I would say I'm the average weight of a man. If you took me, Brother Ron, and you cut my wrist, and you drained all the blood out of me, you might get a gallon and a quart. Maybe I got high blood pressure, so maybe I got a little extra blood. So maybe you might get a gallon and a half out of me.
When Jesus Christ died, and he shed his blood, brethren, I don't know how much volume of blood he shed. I know that he was beat. I know that he had cuts. And he was beaten with the cat of nine tails. They said he ripped out his beard. And his visage was marred above all men.
I know they put nails through his hands and they put nails in his feet, Brother Ron. And he hung on a cross and bled. And when he died, they came by with a spear and they put it under his rib and put a spear into his heart. And the Bible says in the book of John that blood and water came forth. I don't know how much volume of blood Jesus Christ bled, but I'm going to say it was enough. It was enough. It was a little bit of blood if you take it in comparison to all the blood that had been shed prior for sin. I'm going to say, brethren, you could put it in a tea pitcher probably. You could have took all the blood Jesus bled and put it in a tea pitcher. It was enough then. It's enough now. It's not just enough for those who have gotten saved. It's enough for the whole world. Why? Why? Because this is God's plan. God is in it. Therefore, little becomes much. I want to say this right here. If we, through the examples that we have seen this morning, if we will believe the testimony given to us in the Scriptures about Jesus Christ being Son of God, and if we will believe that He came and died and bled, and His blood has made the atonement for our sins. And if we have faith to believe, and we'll turn from our wicked ways, and ask the Lord to save us, He'll save you from the uttermost. The uttermost. Let me tell you something. He doesn't just go around saving those good people. The people who don't really do anything wrong. He came to save sinners. It was a small thing that saved us. It's the blood. But it was the faith and the obedience. Let me tell you something. If we will be obedient in our hearts to the commandment we've been given, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's an easy, small thing. It will do a great work in your life. But you're going to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to have obedience to submit yourself to what the Bible says. Obedience and faith make really small, insignificant things great because God is in them. I want to tell you this morning, there is no more sacrifice for sin. It's done. Jesus is in heaven bleeding over the mercy seat still. That sacrifice is done and over with. The blood has been placed on that mercy seat and it's done. It's finished. All the sins of the entire world have been paid for. My sins are all atoned for right now. Your sins are all atoned for right now. It's just up to you whether you accept His atonement or you going to work out your own salvation with your own good works. Are you going to work out your own salvation with your own atonement, your own blood, your own way of making it? Or will you have faith and simply believe For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth. Whosoever. You know who that is? That's me. Hey, that's you. Whosoever believeth. The sacrifice has been made, y'all. I don't know how much blood it was. Is enough. I don't know how much oil she had in the pot. Is enough. I don't know how much meal she had in her barrel. Is enough. Let me tell you something. All of Christianity and all of the religion that we call religion, as far as our belief and doctrine, comes down to faith. Stand for prayer.